Good morning, everyone. So glad you guys are here with us. A special welcome and good morning to everybody that's watching with us online today. Hey, for everybody in this room, whether you're here or you are online, you're at your couch in your living room, don't forget to either download our church app where you can get our outline, or you can scan this QR code that's behind me to the side of me over here, and you can follow along in today's message. So while you guys are doing that, I just want to say thank you for blessing my family. It's been great. We've been here about 6 months, and it's awesome to call this church our home. We love it here, and we love you. And we can't say enough thanks to you for what you've done for our family and supported us. In fact, a couple of days ago, I got a big envelope from a search committee person. I'm not going to say who this person is, but I got this envelope, and it was full of cards and some gift cards and some things that many of you wrote and gave to us back in March. And so I just received those. And so I just want to say thank you for all the ways you've blessed us. And again, I'm not going to say this person's name, but you know, after this, I may need a lawyer. That's all I'm going to say. Amen. There you go. But truly, thank you guys for how you supported us. We're glad to be here. Well, last week we started a new series called Faith Under Fire, and we're in 2 Peter. So you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 2 Peter. And in chapter 1 last week, we talked about how the truth of God's word is often on trial in our culture and in our society. And we looked at all these different evidence that God provides for us to show the reliability of Scripture. It's something that we can live by. It's something that we can hold on to. It's not based on our feelings, but it's based on fact. And that's a great thing and a great truth that we learned last week. Well, today we're going to move to chapter 2. Of 2 Peter, so turn to chapter 2. And we're going to look at another area where our faith is often under fire. And to begin, I wanted to show you a picture, so I'm going to throw this up on the screen. And this is a painting by Vincent van Gogh. It's just a beautiful painting. I found this week, and the title of the painting is Still Life with Bible. And it was painted in 1855, and it's just beautiful. You got the Bible there, and it's just big. It looks like one of those big family Bibles, you know what I'm saying? You got a big old family Bible. You got a candle in the background, this other book in front of it. In fact, this other book that's in yellow, kind of in the front, and it's by a guy named Emile Zola. And the title of the book is The Joy of Life. And it looks like a great picture. But I wanted you to hear from some scholars and what they have to say about this painting. Here's what it says. By placing a burned-out candle beside the Bible and by putting both in the background, Van Gogh is telling us that the time for walking through this world by the illumination of the Holy Spirit who shines upon God's word, that time is past. Biblical authority no longer holds sway. People are guided by different, if not lesser, lights. That is what he is saying. And even the flaming color of yellow, and when this was originally painted, that book in the front was a lot brighter. Even this flaming color of yellow is now reserved for the cover of another book. Humanity's new pursuit is governed by whatever brings us joy in life. I look at that picture now and go, man, that's a sad reality that our culture is dealing with today. In fact, there's a lot of different flames that the thought that are in our culture, flames that would tell us to go a different way than what God's word teaches us. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to learn today that we live in a counterfeit culture. So taking notes, that's the first thing to write down today, that we live in a counterfeit culture. So before we begin reading this passage, let me go back to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, we are learning that the true word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just written by men, but it's inspired and written by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. And here's what Peter says in verse 1. Let's jump in there. Here's what it says. It says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. And in this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. So just like in Bible times, in biblical times, there are false teachers today. And we need to understand them. We need to be able to recognize them. So here's some ways you can do that. Number one, the product of false teachers is fake news. It's fake news. Now, in this passage, it uses a different word. It calls it heresy. But fake news, when we hear that term, we know what that means today. But heresy is anything that deviates from or denies the teachings of Jesus. It's anything that goes against or twists or manipulates the teachings of Jesus. And in fact, these false teachers, they didn't just go out and tell you and then say that and say, hey, I know Jesus said this, but we're going this other way. And what they would do is they would cleverly devise. That's what they said. They would cleverly teach a false truth. And this word cleverly in the Bible, it's really talking about like smuggling or bringing something in secretly. And in fact, over the last couple of weeks, I've been watching this show on Netflix called Border Security. I don't know if you guys have watched it, but I really like it because it's full of these stories of these Border Patrol agents, and whether they're at airports or border crossings or in mail facilities, and they are looking at packages and people that are coming in on airlines or people that are crossing the border, and they are trying to see if they're smuggling in anything. And I like it because I try to figure out what they're smuggling. So I'm like, okay, that's going to be weed. I know that guy. Look at that guy. He's going to have weed on him. It's going to be cocaine, or it's going to be some like synthetic drug, or it's going to be, it's like some raw meat that you can't have, or some type of fruit that's got bugs in it. I can figure it out. I'm always wrong. Ask my wife. I've never gotten it right yet. But the same is true for false teachers. They don't outright tell you what they are smuggling in, what they're trying to bring into the Christian faith. They don't outright do that. They camouflage it. And they make it seem like one thing when in fact it's something else. The Baptist missionary Charles Whaley says, heresy is the perversion of truth. Unlike an outright falsehood, heresy contains elements of truth that make its error much more difficult to detect. In fact, Jesus warns us about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. They're fake. And sometimes we can't tell them apart from the real thing. Paul was aware of them as well. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He's writing, and he says, man, what is wrong with you guys? He's writing to that church, then he says, man, what's wrong with you? He says, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. You happily put up with them. He goes on in verse 13 and says, these people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised, because even Satan distinguishes himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. But in the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So the next question is, what exactly were false prophets back then, and what are exactly their false teachers today? What are they doing? Well, if you look back in 2 Peter chapter 2, in that first verse, if you look at the end of that verse, we looked at kind of the beginning, but if you look at the end of the verse, it teaches us, and it says this, they were cleverly teaching destructive heresies and even, get this, deny the master who bought them. So what are they doing? Here's what false teachers do. They deny the person and work of Christ. That's what they do. And they may say they love Jesus. They may say they follow Jesus. But we need to look at what they teach. What they teach is all that really matters. Are they teaching God's word? Like, not just part of it, not just the thing that looks good, but are they teaching the complete word of God? Are they obeying Jesus and his commands? Or are they distorting the gospel for personal gain? You see, Jude teaches us about it as well. And Jude's a book of the Bible towards the very end, and it looks a whole lot like 2 Peter and teaches a lot of the same things. There's no chapters in the book of Jude, there's just verses. So in Jude 4, here's what he says. Jude says, some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at that, it says that God's marvelous grace, that's what they're teaching. They're saying that God's marvelous grace allows us not to live for Christ, but allows us to live ungodly lives, to live in sin. And that's fake. That's wrong. And yet we have people today that teach that. And they hold up God's word and says, this is what the Bible has to say. So false prophets in biblical times and now false teachers today, they are peddling this thing we call heresy. Let's move on to verse 2. Here's what it says. It says, many will follow their evil teaching. That's sad. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. So here we see, the second thing we see about false teachers is this. The attraction of false teachers is fame. The attraction that they bring to the table is fame. You know, we're attracted to a lot of things in life. We're attracted to a beautiful sunset, to riches and wealth and opportunity and acceptance and a really good steak. Amen? I love a good steak. But you know what? We're also attracted to fame. And I wanted to look at two different areas that we're attracted to fame. And first is in the religious arena. And we see the popularity of the preacher. If you go on TV today, you check out the internet, there's many false teachers who are really successful. People listen to them and they have a lot of a big following, and it's all because of their fame. Now, I'm not in the business of being up here and calling people out by name, because in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, do not judge unless you too want to be judged. But I'll say this, that here's what they fail to do. Here's what false teachers or false preachers, here's what they fail to do. They fail to preach and teach this. The word of God, the reality of sin, the need for Jesus, how to be saved, and this is a big one, the cost of discipleship. They fail to teach the cost of discipleship. They leave that out. Yet every time I look in God's word, I don't see that everything is just, you know, roses for all of these followers of Christ. No, I see a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, but it's got a purpose, and it's for God's glory. And yet sometimes that's not what they teach. But not only that, when you look at the secular world, in the secular world, there is the popularity of culture. And we know what sells, don't we? We know what sells. Like, why has no one from State Farm ever called you and asked you to come and shoot one of their commercials, right? Why has no one ever, in this audience, why has State Farm never called you and given you a big check and asked you to come and be in their commercial? Why? Because reality, we're nobodies, right? Like in our culture, you and I, we're nobodies. You know, so who do they bring? Peyton Manning, right? Bring Peyton Manning. Why do they bring Peyton Manning? Does he have anything to do with insurance? Does he know anything about insurance? I don't know. I'm guessing probably not. But he's famous. And so Peyton Manning, he gets a phone call and says, hey, we need you to shoot another commercial. So he has a driver come and pick him up, and he goes to wherever he's going to shoot the commercial, puts on his clothes, and they give him a script, and he reads it, and then they write him a big check with a bunch of zeros at the end, and he just goes home, and we look at that, and we buy State Farm insurance. Like, why do we do that? Because here's the deal. We equate popularity with credibility. We see people who are popular, and we think that they are credible. For example, if we brought a famous person just walked in this room, they opened the door and you heard it open, you turned around, you see a famous person, and I see that famous person, you know what we all do? Even myself, we'd all look at that person and go, whoa, they're here, right? Things would change in this room. And if they came up on the stage and I handed them a microphone and I would step off this to the side, and we would all be completely focused on them, whatever they had to say. Why? Even if they weren't an expert at what they were saying, we would look at who they are and say, man, because of their popularity, I see them as credible. So here's my question for you. Are you being influenced by false teaching? Because Jesus warns us again in Matthew chapter 7. He says this in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Peter warns us, these people, these false teachers, they base their message on popularity and not the truth, and then there's a result from that. And we see this result at the very end of verse 2. Here's what it says. Let me read it again. Many will follow their evil teachings and shameful immorality, and because of these teachers, here's what happens. The way of truth will be slandered. What does that mean? Well, simple terms, here's what it means. the gospel gets a bad name. And I wonder, you know, for people that are far from God, they've never grown up in church, and their view of Christianity is from the outside looking in, and they turn on the TV, what do they see? What is their view of Christianity? Is it true Christianity, or is it something that's fake? And it really concerns me that that's a reality in our culture today. So we have the product of false teachers. We have the attraction of false teachers. But number three, we have the motivation of false teachers. And the motivation, the Bible says, is greed. It's greed. 2009, there was an investment banker who got busted big time. And you guys know who he is. His name is Bernie Madoff. A lot of y'all know who that is, but he admitted to operating a Ponzi scheme. And get this, he had 4,800 clients that invested money into his company, and he embezzled and stole $64 billion from them. And he got caught. He got sentenced to 150 years in jail. That's a long time. But he got caught saying that it was all a big lie. Why would someone go to those great lengths to do that? Why? Because of greed, right? It was all about greed. And often, false teachers are similar. They peddle a fake gospel, they gain popularity, and usually it's all backed up by a motivation for greed. Look at what verse 3 says. It says, in their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. John MacArthur says that false teachers, they crave wealth, and they're experts at swindling people in the church out of their money. In fact, this is oftentimes, this is the false teacher's tell. This is how we can figure them out. You can usually spot a false teacher by how what they say and what they do is linked with materialism. A funny movie that I saw a long time ago, it was actually made in 1992, starring Steve Martin, who I think is just a hilarious guy. He hasn't aged a bit, you know what I mean? Like back then, he looked the same age, and 30 years later, still the same, looks the same. But Steve Martin starred in this film called, this movie called Leap of Faith. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, but man, this afternoon, go and watch it. You'll make total sense. But he plays a faith healer. And the faith healer's name is Jonas Nightingale. And he makes a living by traveling around with his crew, and they go to these small towns, and they do these big tent revivals. And he's a preacher, and he goes, and they bring in all these people, and they have like faith healings and all these things. And he's got a choir that's singing. I would love to have like a, can we get this like a choir and someone on the piano while I'm teaching, and they just kind of get going. You know what I'm talking about? That'd be awesome. But he has that going on. But he has these con artists in his group, and they are all spread out in the crowd, and he's got an earpiece, and they're like feeding him information about different people, and he pretends like it's coming from God. And they have these fake healings, and it's just a big con game. And he goes around these different towns, and he does this, and it's crazy. At the end, they take up a big offering. And as people have seen all these things happening, and he says, hey, if you really want this to happen in your life, if you want to be healed, if you want to have all of these things, all these great things, you want to have all this money, man, here's what you need to do. You need to just give. You need to give. You need to give a faith deposit. And he says, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get so much more back in return, and even monetary gain back in return. That's crazy. Where in the world is that in the Bible? Yeah, that happens all the time. And guys, the prosperity gospel and faith healings, that's big business in our society. They rake in billions of dollars every year. Billions. In fact, the three of the top four largest churches in the United States, they adhere to the prosperity gospel. So let me ask this. So how do we, as Bible-believing evangelical Christians, how do we stand up to this, I'd say, this distorted version of Christianity? What do we do? Well, Peter teaches us down in verse 19. So if you kind of scroll down to verse 19, here's what he says. He says, they promise freedom, the false teachers do, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. And he makes a statement not just to them, but to all of us He says, for you are a slave to whatever controls you. I think the answer for today lies in this. And what are you a slave to? Are you a slave to what you get out of Jesus? Like, I come into church, I come into this Christian thing, but the reality is I want God to do something for me. And so if I read my Bible more, I'm expecting God to do more for me. If I give, I'm expecting God to show up and bless me. As I serve, I'm expecting God to move for me on my behalf. And that's a very self-centered version of Christianity, isn't it? Is that what you're a slave to, or are you a slave to Jesus? Are you a slave to following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and you would say without him, you are nothing, and you need him completely in your life, that you'd be lost without him? You see, I think the antidote for false teachers is this. It's authentic, biblical Christianity. Amen? It's authentic biblical Christianity. I don't know about if you caught this, but as we've been talking about this, we've been talking about things that are false, like false preachers, false teachers, false ideologies, doctrines. We've been talking about all those things that are false, but what is that really saying? What that's really saying is that if something is false, that means something's got to be true, right? There has to be something that's true for something to be false. And the truth is this. It's biblical Christianity, not based on what we can get out of it, but what God's word has to say to us. And here is the truth, that we're all sinners. And if we're all sinners, then every single one of you is a sinner. And with our sin, the place where we deserve to go is hell. And that's a scary reality that a lot of people will not say today. But if you look at God's word, that is where we all deserve to go because of our sin. Separates us from God. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. Amen? He sent Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for us, to take our place and our punishment on his shoulders. He hung on a cross and died for you and me. But the great thing is after 3 days, he rose from the grave. And it showed that he has conquered sin and death on our behalf. And here's what he asks of you. Not to try to gain your salvation or earn your salvation or earn your way to heaven or to get out of hell. No, he says you can't do that. The only way that you can, what he's asking you to do is to trust in him. How simple and freeing is that, to trust in him? That is what true, authentic Christianity is. And Jesus says this in John chapter 8. He said to the people who believed in him, he said, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So how do you know what is true? How do you know? Well, I think here's what we gotta do. We gotta check and see if their words square up with the Bible. One of my favorite tools that I have in my garage is a speed square. If you don't know what a speed square is, it's like a triangle. Sometimes it's metal, sometimes it's plastic. But it has a stopper on the end. And the point of the speed square in woodworking or in metalworking, you can put it up against something that's flat. And as you put it up against something that's flat, it makes a perfect right angle that you can mark or you can score. And you can know for sure and for certain that that mark that you're making is exactly at a 90-degree angle. It's a perfect place for you to make that cut. I love that tool. Simple tool. It costs like $5 at Lowe's, but it is so handy and so valuable and so needed because you can know that if you have something that is straight, you know that the next cut is perfect. And that's what we kind of need to do. We need to check and see if their words, if they square up and line up, not with what we think or what makes us feel good, but they line up with God's word. And so here's what we need to do. We need to test the teacher. We got to test the teacher. In fact, John teaches us this in 1 John, and I'll end with this. Here's what he says. He says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. And he says, here is how you do this. Here's the recipe. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. Here's what he says. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, then that person has the Spirit of God. What he's saying here is, he's saying, well, that's pretty simple. So all the person has to do is say that Jesus Christ came in a real body. No, what he's saying is, he's saying, you got to really believe what the Bible has to say about Jesus. You got to take this in its complete entirety and you got to believe it. That's what it means to be a true teacher of God's word. Someone that does that. If someone doesn't do that, if they take just a little part of it and they run with it and they deny other parts of it, other aspects of who Jesus is and what the Bible teaches, that's what John says. He says those people are not truly prophets of God. He says in verse 3, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. And such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. So here's the test. Simple as this. What do we do as evangelical Christians? How do we make sure we're believing the right things? How do we call out other people? How do we know? Here's the test. Are what people preaching, does it line up with God's word? Does it line up with the Bible? And I'll even say this, because we're talking about, you know, people outside this room, you know, and on TV and famous preachers, but I'll say this. You need to test the things that are set up here on the stage, right? Don't take my word for it. If anybody else gets up here on the stage and they get to preach, don't take their word for it. You know what you need to do? You need to test it up against God's word. And I pray that everything that we preach up here, it may be hard to say sometimes, maybe difficult to say sometimes, but you know what? I pray that everything we say would line up with God's word, because that is what it means to really live for Christ. And as a church, that's what it means for us to do these things that we're talking about, making disciples, loving people, living for Christ. It takes us really, truly believing in God's word. Man, what a great call for all of us that Peter gives us to be aware of false teachers, but not just calling them out, not just being aware of them, but really checking our hearts and saying, am I letting that into my life? Am I letting that onto my TV screen? Am I reading those kind of books that would distort the gospel? Is our church a church that truly believes and lives out and preaches from the stage and from your small groups and from your Sunday school classes? Is our church a church that truly believes and preaches God's word? And I pray that we would be that way. Because here's what's gonna happen. If we do that, we're gonna honor God with our lives. And he is going to do some incredible things through us. Amen? Would y'all stand with me? As we close, I just want to say that, you know, we live in a counterfeit culture, and this is the time for us to truly hold on to Jesus. Not the Jesus of who we want him to be, but the Jesus of Scripture. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have this message. We thank you for Peter and his passion for you. We thank you for his eyewitness. And so we can believe and trust the things that he said. And as the Holy Spirit has guided him and directed him, we thank you that we have this truth in Scripture. And Lord, I know that there's a lot of fake things out in this world. Our culture wants to push us away from the biblical narrative, to push us away from what the Bible actually has to say about Jesus. And God, I pray that we would fight against that. That we would test and see what is true. We would hold on to that. God, that we would live our lives not to gain something from you, but God, that we would live our lives and trust you because you're worth it. Because you loved us first. Because you give us a purpose. And God, you have secured eternity for us in heaven with you. And so God, we are grateful. We love you. And God, we want to live for you. So we thank you, God, for teaching us that this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we close, as we finish today, I just want to encourage you. If you're listening to this message today and you say, you know what, I don't know what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Or you'd say, you know, I love what you're teaching. I love what this church is all about, but I want to be a part of that, this church. I don't know what that looks like. Man, we have staff over here in this room. We call it a connection room. And we'd love after the service to just hang out with you, and I'll be over there. If you'd like to talk with any of us about what it looks like to give your life to Christ, to trust in him as your Lord and Savior, or to come and join our church, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. But let me say this, church, as we finish and as we get out of here, I want to challenge you, man, live for Christ this week. And how you read God's word, the things that are coming into your life, as you tell other people about Jesus, live for him in everything you do. Amen? Thank you guys for being here. Y'all are dismissed.